Welcome,
everyone. You're with Dr. Harris, Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr. We are back again, back here in Mississippi, Fresno, one more time. We are doing it big. We are doing it large. There's a lot of activity, a lot of different things that's going on here in Fresno. Nothing new, but just Mississippi at its best again. We have a lot of topics to talk about. We haven't been on the air in such a long time. We will be having Miss Aline Reed, who is our Madam President of the West Fresno Democratic Club, who is doing a magnificent job. I love her drive. I love her vision. She's going to be putting on an event, I believe, in October, a summit for Black folks to come and talk about our issues. And I think that's one of the topics we're going to talk about today, dealing with this Fresno Unified Black Face. I call the show Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show, Black Face Fallout at Fresno Unified School District. We are right now, Black people in Fresno, Fresno County, if I may say that, we are not even on a radar screen. I believe we're not even a people who are respected in this city. Once upon a time, I believe that we were respected as a people. People who are like 80 and 90 years old, 100 years old, could be even 70. People during that time, and I remember people like Reverend Garrett was over at Mount Pleasant. I remember Reverend Curry. I remember ministers like, Reverend Don.
Reverend Dawes.
Who was that?
Reverend Dawes, Reverend Riggins.
Reverend Riggins. We had preachers and ministers who really had their finger on the pulse of the community here in West Fresno. People like Mr. Kimber, people like, I mean, the list just goes on. And not to, to take away our women, we had folks like the Black Political Council. What was her name?
Jackie Hodge,
who was a pioneer in this community here. What has happened to the Black community here in Fresno County? What has happened? Why we are people that are not respected? It's a very interesting conversation, but I know that's not the conversation that we're going to be really discussing tonight, but it's part of the conversation. Because, you know, do Black people have power here in Fresno, California? I mean, it's just very interesting right now for us to see the dynamics that are going on throughout Fresno. You know, are we part of that? Are we part of that solution? You know, are we part of the economic development that's going on right now in Fresno? A lot of development is going on, but, you know, we're still dealing with racism here in Fresno. I believe the Jim Crow, I believe that the Black Codes, I believe that all of the different elements of racism is getting worse now here in Fresno. With 45 in the White House, the different things that he's been saying publicly about Black and brown people, you know, go home, go where you come from, you know, all this type of language, you know, is really sad. It's really sad. And, you know, here we are in 2019, July 22nd, 2019, and we have folks still painting their face black. I mean, what's really going on right now? And then where is the Black community at? You know, I mean, are we okay with white folks painting their face white? Are we okay with that now? Well, our ancestor wasn't okay with it. So why should we be okay with it? You know?
Right.
And so this is the conversation, the summit, Sister Aline, that you're putting on for the Black community here. Because it's time for us to come together as a people. Now, we're not excluding other races of people, but what I teach on Sunday morning is you have to love yourself before you love someone else.
That's
and I
right.
think that some churches, religious institutions teach you to love someone else first and then forget about yourself. And so we don't teach that. And so,
And that's good.
Go ahead, sister.
No, I was going to say, and that's good, Reverend, because historically, black people in this country have been taught to hate each other, to not trust one another, to tear each other down, to be mistrustful. And in fact, we have learned how to cannibalize each other. And so we can talk about crabs in a barrel. We can talk about the black brain drain that has gone on in Fresno for the last 30 or 40 years, with people just, throwing up their hands and leaving Fresno because they didn't see any opportunities. And those of us who have stayed behind or left and come back can see it's not as though time has stood still. It is though, like you say, we have been greatly marginalized. And my hope and prayer with the Progressive Black Summit, of which you are on the committee, you're going to be on one of the panels and doing the closing remarks. My hope is that black folks, especially in the Central Valley, can stop being reactionary, that we are proactive, not waiting until some crisis happens. And then, we marshal our forces and we're all upset. We need to be having that same kind of passion 24/7. That's my hope and prayer for this Progressive Black Summit, October 26th and 27th in Fresno. And the Central Valley is like ground zero for the kind of racism that you're talking about. And when you rechristened our city, Mississippi Fresno, you did a good job, brother.
Well, thank you. We'd like to welcome everybody to Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. We have some callers online. We're here to talk about the blackface fallout at Fresno Unified School District, which has trickled down so many issues right now, from racism, systemic racism, institutionalized racism. There's been a lot of finger pointing and blaming on, who told who to go to Bullard and say what, with this school board trustee named Terry, as well as the superintendent. And it's very confusing on, who to believe right now. We also know that this trustee back in January at the Bullard High School, which he is a trustee of that area, who he was voted in by the voters. And, he was voted in by the voters. And
can I just interject, Rev? He only got 37% of the vote, and that was enough to get him in. If I'm wrong, some of you callers call in and correct me, but it was a very low turnout. And I really wish that somebody else had been elected, because this man is just not, he's not the one. But I'm sorry, Rev, please continue.
No problem. Thank you for sharing that information. And so what happened was, in January, this new trustee who took office was walking the campus. And there's different links that you can click on right now that's on the show, or you can go to my Facebook page. There's different links. This past Sunday, I did preach on this situation to my congregation about us being more aware of what's going on in our city. I believe that that's where we as a people, it used to be a time, Sister Aline, where the black church was the location where black folks would come in and organize. That's where
that's
Dr.
Right.
King was so effective, was that he was able to go into the church, take the sidewalk,
right.
put it in the pulpit, take the pulpit, put it on the sidewalk. And that would make
right.
Dr. King so effective. And so I take those same principles that Dr.
Good.
King taught me right now as a civil rights leader to that he has passed the baton to me to be able to keep his work alive and not let it die. And so getting back to this trustee He was at Bullitt High School, and this is the first incident that took place. Now, understanding, researching this gentleman, he's been on the Ray Appleton show, not the Ray Appleton show, but the KMJ show, and he has full support of the right-wing conservative radio shows that we know they hate black folk and brown folk. Listening to their show this past week, you know, it's like he did nothing wrong. But this trustee went out to the school district and was walking across the facility and came in contact with a young man that I found out that was special ed.
I don't want to be like that guy when he
and they got into a back and forth conversation, and then at that point he grabbed the young man by the arm and tried to pull him, yanking. I guess to the office for whatever reasons he had, and then some words exchanges. It's all on video, and you can go to my Facebook and find the links and click on it and watch it for yourself. And then the backpack fell, and then the young man tried to pick it up and run. He tried to step on it, okay? And that really, 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 I mean, just it just bothered me to have a white man step on something that's not his. Right. And like you're some kind of dog or something, you know. And then the young man left. And from what I'm hearing, the Bullitt community was very upset about what took place with this trustee. And so my understanding today, talking to some community leaders, that they wanted to recall him. But the law is you could not recall. He had to be in office until 90 days. And he was, I guess, just elected. And so the recall did not take effect. Then we have this next incident here where the black face, this young white sister painted her face black, and it got out, and making reference to words, my nigga something, and then it just went viral all over the country. And so I know that Stacey Williams is involved in organizing the community. Hopefully one day we'll get her on our show if she don't call in tonight. And so, you know, I was just, you know, sitting back watching, taking a pulse of the community. And then I found out that there was an African-American parent who was not involved in being heard with their daughter, which right now I believe is traumatized. I'm not a doctor, but I believe just looking, observing, and talking to the mom, I believe that there's something going on there with all of this going on at Bullitt High School. She is on a cheerleading team as well. And so this trustee goes over there, and he said that he talked to the superintendent about going to Bullitt, telling these cheerleaders, you better stop talking about this blackface stuff or else. You better just stop talking about it, or I'll stop you from going to camp. We'll shut down the cheerleading. I mean, he was doing all of this without the consent of the parents. He did all this without the parents being involved there, representing their children. And I look at that as intimidation. I look at that as being a threat. I look at that as the children being frightened, being bullied, traumatized, you know, without their parents. You know, who can better speak for their children than their parents? You know,
that's right.
And so that's kind of where we are today. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines real quick, because I want to just jump into this onion and start peeling it piece by piece. I know we have people listening on live stream all over the world. The board is lit up here. A lot of folks that's calling in. We're going to go to 7878. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're here talking about the blackface fallout at Fresno Unified. Don't know if you're just here to listen or if you're just like to have a comment. 7878. Welcome to our show. All right, we're going to go to 3366. 3366, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're talking about the blackface fallout at Fresno Unified. We know there was a town hall meeting that the school board was listening to the community on what they felt, what needs to happen. What are your thoughts, or do you have any comments or a different perspective or same perspective? What are your thoughts tonight? Welcome to our show.
Yes. I attended the special board meeting that they held on Slatic, And first, I like that the parents came in. They brought the kids that were, you know, willing to speak, and they just laid it out there, like, you know, raw. Hey, just put yourself in my shoes if this is your child, you know. And then this radio personality, from what I understand, made a big joke out of it. And that just kind of goes to show, you know, just the tone overall, you know, in America, where when we stand up, now it's young people. See, it's black people. Young people is the elderly, it's the poor, you know, that they tend to make a mockery of, you know. And so we have to me, you know, my feeling is we have to wake up and band together and show them that we're not a joke. You know,
that's right.
And that when the people unite, we get results.
That's right.
So
that's,
I think,
right.
If Flattick thought that his smirk on his face and his silence, if he thought that helped him, it didn't. I think what it did is really ignite these parents, and, you know, for some of the parents who were not African American who spoke out. Our the white parents, Latino parents that spoke out, especially the white parents, I think it gave them a glimpse and just that feel that we feel all the time, you know.
Right,
not
right.
Taken seriously, not mattering. You know, it makes a difference when, you know, your daughter's life doesn't matter, you know.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I think Slatic's just lack of any... really speak volumes and really shows the people what we have to do, the parents, what we have to do to get bad seeds out, whether it's Slatic or anybody else, you know.
That's right.
He basically assaulted this boy at the beginning in January, and then you have Smith Camp, who doesn't want to bring up any kind of charges on Slatic and basically said, oh, it's nothing. And then you have the court, who we have parents from Bullard who are being threatened. Their kids are being threatened. And a lot of it behind Slatic now, you know, the blackface and Slatic. And they're throwing these, they're throwing it out of court saying, well, no, we're not going to grant it. But, you know, and I think that shows them what the system thinks about them.
Right.
You know, because I've seen people lie and get a restraining order, you know. They say, oh, so-and-so did this, so-and-so did that, and it didn't happen. I've seen people get restraining orders put on them when there really was no strong basis to place the restraining order. It was a game. But you have people who are being threatened, and they turn it down, restraining order, saying don't bother us with this stuff.
Didn't one of the cheerleaders apply for a restraining order and it was denied?
It's more than one. It's more than one cheerleader that has been threatened, and it's really more than one parent that can place that can ask for a restraining order.
Wow.
You know, so I'm not sure, you know, why they taking this lightly, but I tell you what, if they don't push to get Slatic out of there, and he's going to do something, and it's going to be horrendous, and that's going to be on the head of Fresno Unified School District. So I don't know what policy and procedures they have to change to not have people have to go through such extenuous circumstances to remove someone who's abusing their power and authority, but that needs to be definitely in the short future here.
Well, I think first of all, we have to understand that what is the role of a trustee, voted in by the voters, and they deal with policy. They vote in policy, it's not their job to go be a truant officer or a police officer. Nobody has the right to grab anybody's kid on a campus just because you think you're white and you're right. Those days are over with. You did that to our ancestors, but I'll be damned if you're going to do it to us today. Those days are over with. If you want to run a plantation, then you need to go buy your plantation somewhere, but not in Fresno County. We're not going to
put
up
with
not one iota. We're not going to entertain it one iota. And so the Bullock community, if they don't, if they want peace in Fresno, I advise them to remove this dude out of office, because we're not going to stop until he's out, period. And that's not a threat. That's a promise. Because, see, one of the problems we have, as I said in the West Fresno Democratic Club meeting Saturday, is that we once upon a time had black organizations that had substance here in this community. And I had asked a question Saturday, and I wasn't being funny, because right now black people are dying here in Fresno. Black people are getting arrested in Fresno. Black people are going to prison through this kangaroo court system here in Fresno.
That's right.
And I asked the question, where is our black leadership to address black issues in this community? And I said, can anyone tell me in the past 20 years? Past 10 years. I said, can you tell me the past 5 years of any black organization that has done direct action around black people issues here in this city?
Mm-mm.
I said, okay, let's go to 3 years. How about 2 years? Well, let's try 1 year. 6 months. There's no county. So this is why this white power structure here in Fresno feel that they can just run over people. Run over black and brown people as they will, because they think that there's nobody. So that's why the summit is so important, Sister Allie, because, you know, we need to have a come to Jesus meeting within our family here in Fresno. Now, we know we got a lot of house Negroes here in Fresno. We know we got a bunch of sellout Negroes here in Fresno. We know that already, okay? But we're trying to establish the ones that are ready to stand up with a progressive conversation and to stand up for our children. I promise you, Sister Allie, I promise you, Sister Maria, had Allie's mother, who was 100 years old, had Reverend Garrett, who got rest in peace, had B.T. Lewis Sr., have all those preachers been here today, I promise you, we wouldn't be dealing with this like we're dealing with this today. And this dude can go and meet Terry and just smile and laugh and abuse our children. I know
you
wouldn't put up with that.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, brother.
Absolutely right.
So I'm really hoping that the summit is going to galvanize people into understanding that we can't just go from crisis to crisis, because Sister Maria had pointed this out in a discussion that we've had earlier, that these microaggressions and megaaggressions that happen on school campuses all the time, this just happened to have been gone viral on social media. But these kind of things are happening all the time on campuses throughout Fresno Unified School District. So let's be clear, this kind of bullying to black and brown students is not new. It's not new. It just so happens that this particular person, who really did not have the authority to address these children, is putting himself in a bullying situation, which is the total antithesis of what we teach our children about bullying. We tell them not to bully. At Fresno Freedom School, the children understand, because they help make the policy about bullying. So if we cannot send our children to public schools and have them be in a safe place, where are we going to send them? We can homeschool them, and then if we do that in a mass level, these people are going to be out of business, because there ain't nobody going to be in public school.
And maybe that's what we need to do. We need to start hitting them in their pocket, you know, if we start establishing more of, like, the homeschooling centers, or even, like, you know, how we have community policing, we need to have community schooling, okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Where, hey, you guys can make our kids feel safe and you can provide an environment that's conducive to them learning, then
yes.
then we'll
tell
pull
us,
them. We'll take them out to schools and you'll lose all your ADA.
That's right. And that's a possibility. So when Reverend Harris talks about this not being a threat but a promise, everybody knows, I don't care what culture you come from, you cannot mess with somebody's children.
You cannot
you
mess
will
with
get
somebody's
hurt.
Children. And then this wannabe Ray Appleton dude, which Ray Appleton is scum to me, but, you know, this wannabe Ray Appleton dude, he gets on there and it's like because he didn't yell, it's somehow he didn't intimidate them. Because
right.
he didn't yell, he wasn't a bully. You know, last I heard, bullies don't, you know, have to yell to be a bully. They
no.
usually got you pinned up somewhere in a corner.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Asking of any kind of supervision or authority.
That's
and
right.
they commence to whatever they're trying to take or do
That's
to you,
right.
they do it.
That's
so
right.
he did show bullying behavior. And these radio
yes.
personalities that's out there to, you know, just give that, you know, just
mm-hmm.
to try to gain whatever, just any kind of controversy,
right.
any kind of sloppiness, just
right.
to be, you know, recognized.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
We need to pull their sponsors. Okay?
And that's what needs to be pulled in their sponsors. Exactly. The fact that these hate radio jockeys are here, that there are two new ones. I don't know their names, but you know, people like Ray Appleton, Rush Limbaugh, and these other two people that just got here, one of them that you're talking about, Sister Maria, they find fertile ground in the Central Valley in Fresno. Otherwise they wouldn't be here. They're looking for ratings and that translates into money. And one thing I know about haters like this, money and pain are the two things that they understand. So we need, as a community, to speak out against this hate. Speak, you know, and if Americans don't understand, Reverend Harris and Sister Maria, that this is how it started in Germany. This is how the fascists started in Germany during World War II. They better understand this is a cascading thing, Reverend Harris, like you were talking about before. We got brothers and sisters at the border with their children separated in cage. Believe me, folks, if we don't do something to change the trajectory of hate, they're going to have us all in cages. And I'm not just saying this to be hard.
You know what? Bob Nelson, he don't need to get off the hook either. We need
Mm-mm.
to hook him right back on the line.
Yep.
Because Sladek is blaming Bob Nelson, who cannot fire him.
Right.
He is blaming Bob Nelson, saying Bob Nelson sent him over to Bullard to take care of this.
Wow.
So shame on Bob Nelson if he's fine.
Shame on him.
He couldn't figure out a better way to try and reconcile or at least start healing from this.
Let me jump in this real quick because I think I think we have a couple of things going on here, right? And you're right, Maria. He needs to be held accountable too. But even if we get this Terry Slack, whatever his name is, out of the seat of the Bullard trustee, we still have a problem. And the problem is we have a culture in Fresno of white supremacy. From the police
yes.
department to the sheriff
yep.
department.
Yep.
Okay. To the school district.
Yep.
I mean, so, yeah, I hope we get him out. But we have a bigger problem, and how are we going to deal with that? Because we know who runs Fresno, North Fresno. Now, have you seen people, church pastors, speak out against this? No. Have you heard Northwest church pastors speak out about this? No. Have you seen black pastors hold a press conference other than myself about this? No. So there's a lot of fear here in Fresno. And we have to understand the word fear will stop people. There's a lot of fear. Yeah. Now, you say, well, what do you mean, Reverend Harris, there's a lot of fear? Well, just look at it. Dyer endorsed Sheriff Mills to run for sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that she's going to go against him on anything? No, she's not. So we have a good
Even
old boy system here. We have a good old boy system here in Fresno County that's going on that we somehow have to figure out how do we change the culture of this white supremacy, white ideology.
That's what we need. That's what yes, yes,
huh?
Yes.
I mean, I hope we get him out, but I'm saying we have a bigger problem.
Yes. I do not disagree.
And so,
I totally agree.
And I mean, I know we can't deal with everything at one time, but I don't want us to get all relaxed and cheerleading. Hey, we got him out. All right, right.
Yeah.
And then
right.
someone else just goes right back out. So we should be having a conversation with the Bullock community and trying to let them, and I hate to use the word teach.
Well, remember though, folks, remember, maybe I'm wrong about this, Maria, you and Reverend Harris, correct me if I'm wrong about this, wasn't Bullard the area of Fresno that wanted to break away from Fresno Unified and have their own school district?
Yeah.
I believe they wanted to be their own little city.
It's too large.
There it is.
Bullard High School wants their own district with their own feeder schools and split the district in half
okay.
or force or something like that. But
okay.
we have to understand that the Bullard community has never wanted black children in their school district in the first place.
I'm sure that's
yeah.
probably true.
I went to Bullard my 9th and 10th grade year, and I never felt comfortable. And I caught the bus from West Fresno. I had to get on the bus at 5 in the morning.
Wow,
you know,
Maria.
To be there by 7. I caught me and a young lady named Candace. We caught the bus, the first bus coming from West Fresno to Bullard, bus 32, you know.
My goodness,
so,
yep.
And I never felt welcome there, ever.
How many students do you think black students were there when you were there, Maria, if you can recall? Was it more than 10, more than 20?
Yeah, it was maybe close to maybe about 100 of
okay.
us.
Okay.
You know,
that's still small compared to.
It was quite a population, but a lot of us was coming from West Fresno.
Mhm.
You know, we were catching a bus from another part of town, and I felt much more comfortable at Edison. I would go to Edison for summer school to take courses
right.
to get ahead, and I loved being at Edison summer school. I loved Washington Union.
Wow.
You know, it was a lot of rich, white farming kids
mm-hmm.
out there, but.
Mm.
For the most, and we had our racial schools there too, but it's just something about, you know, being around a big group of black students that make you feel a little
right.
more protected.
Right,
you know?
Right. And this is a real conversation. I mean, people, and isn't it funny that we're still talking about this during the time that you were going to high school, Maria, and I mean, I graduated from Edison 40-something years ago, and this is 2019, and we're still having these kind of racial problems, but something has got to change in this valley. Reverend, you know, how do you think we need to go about
well,
this?
My solution was the summit. I think, first of all, that it's imperative that we have to look at the dynamics of the community. He said, well, Reverend Harris, what do you mean by dynamics? Well, just look at the Fresno Unified School District Board. You got two people who've been up there 100 years already, Mills and a lady from Sunnyside, forget her name. You know, they've been up on the mm-hmm. dice for 10, 15, 20 years already. You know, we need new blood, you know.
Mm.
And not saying that they haven't done a good job of team, but, you know, it comes a time where old leadership needs to step down and let new leadership come in. But we're at this time right now where we have old leadership just want to sit there till they die. But yet they're disconnected from the younger generation. But yet they're disconnected from the younger generation.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And don't
mm-hmm.
really understand what they're going through, right?
Mm.
And so I think that I mean, look what happened at Edison. You know, they just got a new football coach over there. Name is Mr.
Mm.
Harris. Okay. Mm. I believe he's been there 2 years, going on 3 years.
Mm.
The brother's doing good. You know, he's dealing mm. with the children's academics. He understands what's going on in the community. You know, he can relate
mm.
to them, is what I'm saying. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so when we have people who cannot relate to what's going on, and then we get a school board trustee. I mean, I was like dumbfounded. See, I understand how school boards work. I understand that the school board members cannot remove Terry from his seat. I understand that. But what I don't understand is how come the school board did not come with a united front and say, we demand for your resignation right now. Why wasn't there a unified front on that piece
mm-hmm.
there?
Right.
You see what I'm
right.
saying?
Yeah.
And I know they couldn't do it, and he would have said no, but it would have showed the community, hey, you know, we all standing together in this with power, you know?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when you only have one person say it, and the other four or five just sitting there looking, you see how weak
mm.
that made it look?
Hmm.
We
and
have
he's sound
caller.
On that.
We have another caller on 3248. I don't know if you're just listening. If you are, that's fine. If you have something to say, that's great. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show, talking about the blackface fallout at Fresno Unified. Welcome to our show. Going once, going twice. All right, they're just listening. Thank you for calling in. Just stay on the line and listen to us. That's great. Sister Ali, I think right now I want to talk about partnership right now. I want to talk about allies, which is very, very important, I feel. We understand that in our black community right now that we're fragmented. We're like jacks all over the place. And it comes a point in time where we have to understand that we don't have the numbers to put anyone in office anymore. You know, those days are gone now. So we're forced to work with other folk who have like minds, you know, who have parallel visions, you know, that
yeah.
they support us, we support them. And there's a lot of great
right.
people out in Fresno that's
yes,
trying to work with the black community, you know.
Yeah.
Great people, you know.
Good
I
people.
Appreciate them.
Very good people.
I want them to know that
yeah.
I appreciate them, you know.
Absolutely.
For writing stories, for coming. I mean, you had some write, what's the sister name? Write to M and her mother, you know.
Oh, Emily. Emily Brandt and her daughter, Hannah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, those are two beautiful women. Who really cares
yeah.
about justice? They care about social justice. They
yeah.
care about fairness. They care about
consistently
making sure that people are being treated fairly. I appreciate
yeah.
them because they don't have
yeah.
to do that.
Mm-mm. Not
you
at
know?
All. It'd be easy for them not to. Yes.
It would be
you
easy
know?
For them not to.
I mean, you know, listen, they're good. You know. I don't know what nationality they are, but I mean, people, the power structure could try to bury them, right? And if if the power structure do go after them, then what are we going to do? We have to go.
We're
going to
stand with them. That's right. That's right. We have to.
And that's what we have to teach our children now. You know, you cannot be scared of people who don't have your skin color, you know. So we have some more callers online. We have more callers online. We're going to go to, man, a whole bunch of them just shot up at one time. Okay, that's great. We like that. We're going to go to 3248. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're talking about the blackface fallout at Fresno Unified. Don't know if you have anything to say or maybe you have a lot to say. 3248, welcome to our show. All right, 3248 going once, twice. We're going to go to 3148. 3148, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. Talk to us tonight, 3148.
Hello, how you doing?
All right, all right,
yep.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Familiar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is Marcus Winston. How you guys doing today?
All right, much better now.
Brother. It's the revolutionary brother.
The revolutionary, man. Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Young Garvey over here. Now,
brother,
I had to call in, man. I was there.
I saw you on TV, Brother Marcus.
Oh, thank you, man. Hey, I just had to go out there. I mean, when I found out what was going on, you know, and the cool part about it is, like, I've been talking to some of the – because I didn't want to try to overstep my boundaries when I got involved with this because I knew I had some ladies that had already been laying the groundwork, and I wanted to make sure I came in as a support to them and not trying to overstep anything that they have already moving forward. So Stacey Williams, you know, Alicia Henderson, they've already been on the ground working on this and fighting this fight for these students. You know, we have Brother Frazier over there. His daughter was one of the ones that had to deal with the issue, and he's fighting for his, you know, for his children, fighting for Maine children at the same time here in Fresno, you know, in the Bullitt region. But, I mean, Slatic, he doesn't seem to care.
Mm-mm.
And he just doesn't seem to give a damn about anybody else other than his own people and trying to keep the people that I guess put him in position and his friends, you know, saying trying to do them favors because, you know, apparently not only does, you know, he actually knows the girl. I guess like the girl and his daughter are friends.
Mm, wow.
So,
really?
So, yes, I've have this on good authority.
Oh, so we have a conflict of interest here, right?
In the first place,
yes. That's a conflict of interest.
Wow.
So that's one of his daughter's friends. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, yeah, it's cold game because it's like, look.
Wow.
Not only did you bend him and make new rules, which explains his actions, why he did everything that he did. Like, because of the fact. Now he's over here trying to find a way to make new rules to put her in position instead of letting her allowing her consequences for her actions.
The plot thickens, y'all.
So it's a shame that even
does. Yeah. Can someone do me a favor? And I don't know if you can do it, Aline or Marie. Can one of you guys try to get a hold of Emily or her daughter? I'd like for them to come on the show tonight if they have time. I thought they were going to call in.
She might be listening because Emily did tell me she had been promoting the show to different folks. I saw her at a Voters' Choice meeting at the West Fresno Regional Center this afternoon. So hopefully she's listening in. You know, she and Hannah are both journalists, so she might be listening in. And Emily, if you are listening in, don't just listen, please call. But yes, you know, I think this is going to be a topic that we're going to be talking about for weeks because people, like Marcus said, and like both of you said, Maria and Reverend Harris, people are organizing on the ground about Terry Slatic. And I hope he gets all the smirks in at home that he can, because I really do believe his time is going to be limited on the school board.
See, but Sister Lee, I respect and I understand exactly what you're saying. I worry about the power of, you know, of white privilege, because it seems to find a way to be able to get itself out of any type of problem. Issue, regardless of responsibility, regardless of accountability, and it just seems like the fact that, you know, you have such an outcry from the community, especially even people that voted you in, or people that voted that from your area are sitting up here now having buyer's remorse for all the issues that he's bringing to President Unified.
So now it's at a point where it's like,
we got to figure out a way we can, you know, to deal with this situation. I mean, you got people from Bullard. The parents are over trying to figure out how they can go back to Walmart with their receipt and drop him back off.
That's a very good analogy, Brother Mark.
We have another caller in, 0016. 0016, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. I'd just like to welcome you to our show. Don't know if this is your first time calling in. We're talking about the blackface fallout at Fresno Unified School District. Welcome to our show, 0016.
Thank you.
Hey, my sister, that voice sounds familiar, too.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. I think that's Miss Ingram. Her daughter was involved in this piece, too. Thank you for coming on the show. What do you like to say to us today?
Well, I'm glad that you're discussing this, and I'm feeling the support and the love in the community, and I just want to say this is unacceptable, and it has to stop, and it has to be addressed.
Yes, it does. And you know, as I was saying earlier before you and Brother Marcus came on, you know, and I hope whatever God's plan is to happen is going to happen anyway. But when this is finished, we still have a problem. We have a culture in Fresno of white supremacy. That is embedded in each piece of government, from the police department to the sheriff to the courts to the school district. You know, how do we change that culture? Can we change that culture? What do we need to do to, I mean, like I said, but the two board members from Sunnyside and Mills, they've been on the board for 100 years, you know? I mean, come on. Let the next generation do something, okay?
Right.
What do we do right now in Fresno, July 22nd, 2008, 2019, with all of this going on? Black, you know, we have children putting on black faces. We got white board members going and grabbing children who are, special needs. You know, I mean, what do we do?
We have to talk about it. We can't just let it go away because now it becomes silent. You know, the white elephant. And so, for me, my concern was the trustee going to the meeting, but he wasn't going to the meeting to apologize about the mask, the black mask. He was going to talking about. We need to accept the decision that we made to keep her on the team in order to move forward. If not, I'm going to take this program away from you. So he never really applies to my daughter or any of the other African-American kids, you know. So that's what really got me upset. And then they had a private meeting, parent meeting. Well, I'm not included. So that caused me to say, something has to change. We're going to talk about this. You're not going to make it go away. We can't let it, even if they make them resign, whatever decision is, you still have to talk about educating other cultures and races about our history as well as our children. But like I said, I don't need to sit in a class, another culture class, in terms of how to treat another race. Because I've been brought up to be respectful to all people. I'm not a racist.
Right.
I'm not prejudiced. So at the end of the day, who needs to sit in these classes?
Right.
You know, so from my understanding, they're hiring an African-American to go and deal with the black student union to deal with the black students. But still, it's not getting addressed. We need to deal with the races called white privilege.
Mm-hmm. That's right,
like
Sister Ingram.
You know, so at the end of the day, like I said, I know what color I am. I know what color I'm going to be when I leave this world. So racism, prejudice, academic prejudice, it's going to always exist. So we got to teach our kids to know how to deal with it because it can be very emotional. And so the terms that we get, you're hostile, you're outraged. And that's why I said at the board meeting that if a black man would have did any of that, it would have been very bad. He would have been arrested. He would have been arrested. Everything would have been in his disfavor. So there's white privilege. Until we accept that and own that, we can continue to deal with this going underneath the rug. And so me being upset, you didn't go in there to apologize what took place. You went there defending the ones who did it. And like I said, these girls are uncomfortable because they're getting threats. I'm still concerned about the child being on the team because what if?
Wow.
What if it's a possibility and being
Right.
And he's playing all the time. You know, you saying you from the military, are you have PTSD and you get away with it? So my concern at this point, I'm making a decision, is it okay for my child to be on the team, because I don't have nothing to prove at the end of the day, but my child's safe.
Yes. Wow.
Well,
a lot of things are being broken. A lot of the system on that campus. The vice principal was removed because she called many of the African American kids in the school and did private conversations and had a life statement that included the staff.
Sister Ingram, are you talking about the black sister that's the vice principal or somebody else?
Oh, this is they had a Mexican vice principal lady, and she was calling the kids. And so the black vice principal didn't want to touch that situation.
That's my problem with black people that don't want to touch that situation. Like, we'll cry out for Trayvon Martin. People state the way, and not to say that we shouldn't, but we won't cry for the person in our school or across town. You know, this is about black. This involves a black child, a black community, no matter what part of Fresno we live in, this is still our problem. Because you better believe racism is going to just go on in Bullard. It go on in all of these schools around here.
That's right.
Yes.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So people have to understand, too, everybody, that the world is watching Fresno right now. Make no mistake. Social media has made it such that the entire world is watching Fresno, California right now and looking at how we are going to deal with this problem. So they better pick a side, because this is not our parents' and our grandparents' civil rights movement any longer. The rules have changed.
Yes. You can't have fear. You cannot stand up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an option. And I understand people are fearing their jobs, but they have been doing a disservice for our children's education in the system for a while now. We're behind. You know, I don't know if anyone knows it, but they had hired someone to come talk to the teachers because they were being very insensitive to our black boys and suspending them, and you know, it was just very chaotic. So the dialogue there. So again, white privileges, the dialogue isn't them not understanding. But then at the same time, you can take a white little boy or teenager, and they can do the same thing. And it's now it's behavior, it's and they depressed. You know, it can make us and so, so trauma is existing in many families. Doesn't matter the color. So. But we have to stand up for our blackness, our culture, our kids, and not be afraid and own it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and give back. We got to give back. When you make it, you got to give back to your community.
That's right. That's right. Well, we don't have a choice, everybody, because I remember, I don't know what, 15, 20 years ago, even 25 years ago, when there were still so-called sundown cities in Central Valley, where it was like, you know, black people, brown people, you better have your behinds out of town. I don't care if you work in town during the day, but you better get your ass out of here by nightfall. We don't want to see you. And, you know, I remember my sister talking about Taft, California. This was like 25, 30 years ago. Went in to get a cold drink, her son playing football, on a football team down there, and they had a ceramic thing over the bar that had a noose. Now, if that ain't a symbol in a Central Valley town, I'm just saying, y'all, we have got to take a stand now or we're going to be scared forever.
Yeah.
And I refuse to be afraid. I refuse to be afraid of my own city.
That's right.
Well, I believe that Miss Stacy Williams is having a meeting on the 25th. Do anyone know the location of that meeting?
It's a closed group, so I'm not sure.
I don't believe the location has been chosen just yet.
I thought I read it was on San Jose Street, or I don't know where San Jose is.
I think it's still up in the air, though, about the final location.
Okay.
And,
well,
and I think that's a good thing, because they're being very stealth about this, because there are a lot of spies, there are a lot of eyes, and they have to be careful, and they should be. They should be.
Right. Okay, well, we're like 2 minutes before the show is off. We just want to say, like to thank everyone who tuned in today to listen to the show. We'll be having more show. Hopefully we get some more of the organizers that's involved in this on the show. And so we just want to, you know, keep this out there. You know, this is not Germany. Not going to be dealing with no Hitler. Not going to be. So that's the thought process that the Bullock community has. That I mean, I hate to see that the this Terry guy grabbed on this young man. But I promise you, had he grabbed my son, it would have been brutal. And so our mothers don't carry our children for 9 months to have their children disrespected. So anything else you want to say before we go off? We have about 3 or 4 more minutes.
I don't want anyone that is involved in this fight against Sladek to get him out, or racism in President Unified to lose hope. That's the enemy's trick, is to try to make us feel like we're not being effective, like we're not making no leeway. But we are. But we just got to keep going. So just stay hopeful, and let's keep fighting, and let's keep speaking, and let's not let the pressure up off of Sladek's neck.
That's right. Yes. Well said, sister.
Yes.
All right. Well, we just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Sister Ingram, you have anything else that you would like to say before we go off the show tonight?
You know, I just like to say we got to continue being a voice, continue supporting one another, and let them know that we are still a community and that we're not going anywhere.
That's right.
That's right.
Sister Aline, do you have any last words that I'd also like for you to talk about the summit that's coming up in October as well?
Yeah, I want to encourage all progressive black people from Stockton to Bakersfield to attend this black summit, this progressive black summit, October 26th and 27th in Fresno, California. The first day is going to be at New Light for New Life Church at 1106 West Woodward. And then the next day we're going to be at Bitwise at 700 Van Ness. And we are going to have panel discussions. Our keynote speaker is James Bell, who is the president and founder of the Haywood Burns Institute for Equality and Justice in Oakland, California. It's free to attend. And we hope that you bring your solutions for white supremacy with you and have a plan to fight the power continuously. And just don't give up, y'all. Listen to Sister Maria. Don't give up. The fight has just begun.
Yeah.
All right. There you have it. You have the most revolutionary women that I know in Fresno, California, well as the state of California, on the line tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so they.
Now we need Shannon on here to make that happen.
Oh, yes. Indeed.
And they do speak truth to power. And so we just want to thank them all. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. Go back to the archives, listen to the show, share the show with different friends. If you have a topic you'd like to talk about, inbox me on my Facebook. We'll check it out, see what it is. I know Lady J, Jamila Harris, we're going to be having some shows about marriage, some different comments and different things that you've been saying. I don't know if Brother Marcus is still on the line. He might have dropped already, but I just want to thank that brother for doing what he's doing in the school district.
Yes.
We need more black brothers. And I wanted to ask him a question. I guess Marcus, you there? I think you dropped off. But Fresno Unified is the third largest school district in California, and we have no black male principals in the district. And I'm going to leave that there so that you can digest that. Think about that. Why is that? Is that part of what we're talking about today, the black face fallout at Fresno Unified School District? Does that have a piece of that conversation that we don't have not one black male principal in the third largest school district in California? Is that intentional? Is that intentional? Those are the questions that we have to dissect, you know?
They actually had an African-American graduate student do a his thesis on that, and that was the concern. So there is someone who did research and data on it.
So, Tate, before we get off, we had a press conference with you the other day. You're over 1,000 views right now. What were your thoughts about the press conference? Did you feel that it helped to have you have a voice during this crisis time?
It did, because I didn't feel like I was being heard. And I felt when I did meet up with different staff and different individuals that represented Fresno Unified School District, it was just trying to see where my take was on racism, and I think my knowledge and my experiences. And so, I had to step out of my norm because I don't really do TV, and that was the first time doing that, but I don't have a problem speaking. And I did feel support, and it just definitely gives me hope. And you know, this is something that can't go unheard, and not, we got to come up with some solutions. You know, we have to. So I was very pleased to, you know, said, hey, we're going to go in front of these unified school districts and we're going to let you speak. And so I'm very grateful for that because I was having some emotions then in silence. So, you know, it, we have to stand up. We have to be fearless.
Right.
And we have it's not an option. It's mandatory.
You know, Sister Ingram, I just want you to say just real quick that please don't ever think that you're by yourself. If you ever need to reach out and just talk, you know, to anybody one-on-one, just know that you're not by yourself. If you reach out to Reverend Harris, he's going to connect you with a whole bunch of people that got your back and your daughter's back. Just know that.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
All right, there you have it. We'll stay tuned for our next show. Maybe we can get Terry on our show. What do you think?
He's a tough guy.
I'll reach out to the brother and see if he goes on the KMJ. Maybe he'll come on Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show. Let's see what type
right.
of backbone. See what type of
with
backbone.
Ugly little smirky face.
Show.
That's right. That's right, sister. He's a Marine. He should be able to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're going to say good night to everyone. And you all have a safe, blessed night. And we will chop this, peel this onion one layer at a time. And we're going sign off right now. I was thinking about James Brown. James Brown been in my mind and my soul right now. And I said, well, let me find a song about James Brown. And,
man.
I see he's a very, very icon of ours in our community here. And, wow, that brother has so many songs. But I think I like this one right here.
I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
All right, now.
You know, like a sex machine, man. Moving, doing it, you know. Can I count it off? One, two, three, four. Like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling. Sure you're fine.